You know, folks, we need to get ready for the things that are coming upon the world. If you've got clean hands, God is going to protect you. I want you to listen to this dream. We've named it Escaping Judgment by Clean Works. And it was given to Karen Eric Panraj from Singapore. And she said, I was in the second floor of a fairly huge house, which housed Unleavened Bread Ministries. I saw many different races from different nations. We were all viewing through the glass window what was going on outside. We were all not afraid. I saw a white tornado, which was like a very straight line with lightning emanating from it. It looked very fierce, and the winds were extremely violent. Yet, we were all praising God. Well, I'll point out to you that Unleavened Bread Ministries is in all, many nations, you know. Many of our people in our ministry are, in fact, in other nations, and many people that serve our ministry in other nations, and many people that listen are in other nations. And so it is that way with us. And she goes on to say, I was not too bothered about the tornado and went to the kitchen, and I started washing my cup with a white cloth lying on the sink. My cup was not dirty to the naked eye, but being meticulous, I took that cloth to clean it under running water. Next, I started to wash that cloth with a brush having golden bristles in case the particles of dirt on my cup went on that small cloth. Interestingly, I did not know that you wanted that cloth. She's speaking to me. Okay, she sent this to me and she was speaking to me. I wanted that cloth. But you kept coming to the sink because you wanted that cloth, but you were so humble and too polite to ask for it back from me. And after I had finished scrubbing and washing that cloth, you came and collected that cloth back from me and with a smile started using it yourself. And, well, I gave some interpretation here. I said the white tornado is the power of God going forth to straighten. It was a straight tornado. Usually they're not that way, right? Going forth to straighten, cleanse, and judge the church outside for which we were celebrating. Why were the people celebrating? I don't know, but they were celebrating. In Nahum 1 and 2, the scripture says, the Lord is a jealous God and avengeth. The Lord avengeth and is full of wrath. The Lord taketh vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Well, I'll say this, folks. As we've pointed out before, the flesh, the old man, is our enemy and is God's enemy. And he has determined that old man ain't going into the kingdom. In fact, he has to die. He has to lose his life in order for you to have your spiritual life. And God claims total authority over the whirlwind. And that's why I believe that this straight white tornado from which is coming forth judgment is talking about cleaning up God's people, helping them with their enemies, bringing judgment that causes people to repent. And we're going to see a lot of things, I believe, in the next little while, which is going to cause many of God's people to repent. Matter of fact, there is a revival coming. Right? And one reason it's coming is because of judgments in the earth. And she said, no matter what nations or races these people were, they were looking out the window and watching this go on outside. These were evidently people who had been delivered of these particular judgments. And but she said they were all praising God. Well, I can see one good reason to praise God in the midst of judgment, and that is that God's people are learning the fear of the Lord, repenting, turning to Him, and so on. Well, if our cup is clean, then we're delivered from this need of cleansing and judgment. And what do I mean by that? Well, the cup that we drink represents what we reap from God's hand through the world. It was that way with Babylon in Jeremiah 25. Let me read that to you. Jeremiah 25 and 15, "For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto me, take this cup of the wine of wrath at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." Now, we know that he was talking about that list of nations in Jeremiah 25 that Babylon was going to bring judgment to during their 70 years of captivity. Of course, we know it's 7 years this time, but this cup represented what God was bringing to them, and it was a cup of wrath. If you remember A.A. Allen's vision, which God quoted some from Jeremiah 25 in that vision, he was given a cup with a sword in it. And this cup was given to Babylon to drink, given to the United States to drink. And he called it Babylon. He used the verses that identify Babylon. And so in this verse he said, "And cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." In other words, this is what God is bringing to you. His judgment he is bringing to you. That's what this cup represents, right? Remember, Jesus spoke about the cup in the garden that he wanted to pass from him. But you know, Jesus drank of the cup of God's judgment. And why? Because he was partaking our judgment, right? He was taking away, he was bearing our curse, wasn't he? That's right. So this cup that needs to be clean, it doesn't need to have any swords in it, does it? Right? Well, Jeremiah 25 and 16 goes on to say, "And they shall drink and reel to and fro and be mad because of the word that I will send among them." And yes, it's true. When the United States is through bringing judgment throughout the Middle East, which is what these nations were, they're going to be mad. And they're going to do just exactly what the rest of Jeremiah 25 says too. They're going to bring judgment on Babylon. Okay, the water is the Word of God. But you know, if you want to clean something, you want to clean a cup or whatever, you don't just run water in it, do you? The water's powerful to clean, but it takes a little elbow grease, you know? It takes a little hand movement, right? So the water's the Word, but it's not powerful enough to clean the cup through which we partake of whatever God wants to send our way through this world, right? Well, without the work of clean hands, which the white cloth represents, the cup's not going to get clean. In Galatians 6 and 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, what is this reaping? It is the cup that God gives to us. Now, if our works, our hand, is clean, our cup is clean, right? Her hand took this white cloth and cleaned the cup and made real sure it was clean. And the tornado represents the judgment from God's hand against those whose works are not clean, right? In James 1 and 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word." That's your hands represent your works, don't they? "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves." Many Christians are that way. They're very, very deluded, thinking that they're not going to reap what they have sown. But God says, no, there's a cup coming your way. You better make sure it's clean, right? And it better be clean by your clean hands, right? And I think the gold-bristled brush may represent the very valuable desire and work of holiness in a person's heart to clean up their works so that they might escape the judgments to come. Well, anyway, we've got a cup coming. The Lord Jesus drank the cup of judgment for us. But as you know, there's no sacrifice for them who walk in willful disobedience. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Well, the Bible also speaks about storing up judgment for the day to come, right? And many people are doing that. They think that because they've gotten away with it so far that they're going to continue to get away. Not so, folks. This is the day of judgment that we're coming to. And why is that? It's because God has to deal with our sins now, because the end is coming. So make sure your cup's clean. And it'll only be cleaned by your clean hands, right? Make sure your cup's clean. Make sure that you're going to reap a good reward from the Lord. The people that were in this big white house obviously represents holiness. The people that were in this white house, they were only observing. It said in Psalm 91, it says, "Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked." Right? They were just observing these judgments. And, you know, we're not to rejoice in the judgment of the wicked, but we are to rejoice in the effect, and that is repentance, you know, a grief for sins, turning to the Lord, turning away from wickedness. I suspect that's why they were rejoicing. And it wasn't just for the judgment of the wicked, but it was more so for the salvation of the saints. You know, if God chastens every son that he receives, doesn't he? Chastening is part of salvation. Most people are being chastened when they get saved. They're turning to the Lord, you know, for his grace and his mercy and his salvation in physical things. So we thank God that he is merciful. But also, there's tornadoes coming. And these tornadoes are very straight. Kind of like the plumb bob, you know, in Amos. You know, plumb bob is to measure things to see if they're straight, you know. And God passed up judgment on Israel twice, but the third time he dropped the plumb bob. And basically meaning he was going to judge them according to the word, right? And here we go, folks. We're coming to the place where there's no more delays in judgment. He's had two judgments delayed, I think, to. And when I say a judgment, I mean a series of judgments, because you understand that in the scriptures, there are things that are connected. If you delay one thing, you delay a bunch of things. If you delayed, for instance, the tribulation, then you have delayed a whole bunch of things. Okay. But we're coming to the day when God's about to drop the plumb line, because he's not going to delay anymore. The tribulation is going to start. All those series of events that have been prophesied will come to pass at that time. And God's going to be judging according to the word. So that just a few years later, people will have the fear of the Lord. They will be walking with the Lord. They will be very careful to be pleasing unto the Lord. And they will have studied the word instead of the world. And they will have found out what it is to walk in the Spirit. And so on and so on and so on. And so glory to God. We thank God for judgment. The Bible says, "Give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We thank God for judgment. If it wasn't for judgment, we wouldn't straighten out before it's too late, would we? So they were rejoicing in Karen's dream there. They were rejoicing in what they were seeing. Make sure you're in the big white house, folks. If it's not this one, then another one. But make sure you're in the big white house, right? Looking out of the picture window, letting the storm blow out there, right? Abiding in Jesus Christ is what we need to do with clean hands. Well, I received another one that was, I think, very similar to this. In fact, I think I received these both almost the same day. And this one is given to Cal Spinner. And the name of it is "Apostate Church Cut Up and Cooked Like a Goose." Yes, that's what it is. That's the name. Listen to this. It's, I think, very, very right. I dreamed I was in the person of the Son of God, meaning in this dream, he was acting for the Lord, right? He was standing in for the Lord. The Lord was using, he was seeing things through the Lord's eyes, okay? I dreamed I was in the person of the Son of God, the Son of Man, excuse me. I was in a giant library or bookstore with many books and many rooms. I met a beautiful woman who seemed Western. She was dressed quite modern and was wearing makeup, gold, and diamond jewelry. We began to converse, and I invited her to come with me. And as we began to go, we met another woman who was dressed more Eastern, in plain white dress with a head covering over her head, and she had no jewelry or makeup, just a thin gold belt that was like a rope around her waist, right? She was wearing plain sandals, whereas the other woman wore stockings and high heels and so on. It seemed we all knew each other, and I invited her to come with me as well. We then walked out of the library and into what seemed to be like a honeymoon suite of some hotel. The room had a good view of the ocean and fancy wicker furniture. It was very beautiful and was all decorated in very pure white. There were two king-sized beds side by side. And I said to the women, "See, there is plenty of room. You both can stay." And they agreed, and both presented me their feet, which became like reeds. And I took shears, and I clipped off their feet. Then the beautiful Western woman became jealous of the other woman when I gave her attention. Believe me, folks, the Lord is going to give attention to this other woman, too, in these days. And that woman is going to be very jealous, just like in Jesus' day, right? I then laid the woman with the head covering in the bed. Then the scene suddenly shifted to a kitchen, and I was placing the other woman, that is the woman that was all dressed up in finery and made up and all the gold and silver and stuff. I was placing the other woman in the oven. She had only one arm and one leg. And I'm guessing, folks, it was probably the left arm and the left leg, right? And the other arm and leg was bound with string. She was on a tray and had an apple in her mouth. She was weeping. And as I placed her in the oven and shut the door and turned it on to cook her like a goose, but the apple in her mouth reminded me that she was a pig, you know. Then I woke up very disturbed, and I asked the Lord for an interpretation. And I am still, at the time of this writing, quite shaken by the vividness of this dream and the quickness that the interpretation came to me. This is a terrible warning. This is the interpretation that the Spirit revealed to me, although there may be more. I was in the role of the Lord, the great hall with many rooms and many books represented all the many doctrines of man and his religions. There were many people partaking of these various books. The Son of Man is in the store or library with all the other doctrines of the world, but only invites some to go with him. The two women represent the church, those invited to wed the Lord. The woman dressed more plainly with head covering represents the true church. The head covering symbolized willingness to submit to authority and headship of the bridegroom. The modern woman that was selfish and jealous and dressed the jewelry and makeup represents the apostate church. The clipping of the feet is when we come to the Lord. We agree not to stand on our own, but to be carried by the Lord. Yeah. Although both groups profess that they stand by grace and not by their own works, only the true church will be made to stand because of true faith. The cutting up represents the denominations of the apostate church that are one-sided. In other words, missing one arm and one leg. And I'm guessing, I didn't get to ask him this yet, but I'm guessing that's a left arm and left leg. I put a little note here. I said, they're unable to do the works or the walk of the Lord, but are only bound by string, which symbolizes that they could be free if they really wanted to. And it's true, folks. The apostate church, if they really loved the Lord, loved the Word, they could be free. It's a free gift, right? But no, they choose the world. They choose to be what they are. And he goes on to say, the Lord will judge them for being worldly and self-absorbed, and will put them in the oven himself. And I put a note there, to be burned up in the fiery trial. You know, some are going to come through the fiery trial like gold and silver, right? But some are what? Wood, hay, and stubble. He says they will cry out, but he won't hear them and send them to be baked. He won't hear them because they are like pigs, concerned with only themselves, rejecting his authority and headship. They will not allow him to carry them to his bedchamber. But instead, they will try to do things their own way, being more concerned about what the world thinks of them than the Lord. We should all take heed with great fear and trembling and submit ourselves to the Lord's authority with all haste. The time is at hand to come out of Babylon or be destroyed by the beast. Please, well, this is a request for prayer here. So I won't go into that. We already prayed for him. Well, that's so true, folks. It's right dead on, as a matter of fact. You know, there are so many people living after the lusts of their flesh, which is what the pig sacrifice is all about, right? You know, the beast sacrificed a pig on the altar, didn't he? And our life is a sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, right? But there is an abomination of desolation, which is none other than offering a life that is unpleasing to the Lord, and a life that is selfish, a life that does not put the flesh to death, but instead feeds it and feeds it and feeds it like you do a pig, right? And that's an abominable sacrifice before our God. And yet, that's what the apostate church has. That is what their sacrifice is. They are pigs. And when going through the fiery trial, that bacon is going to burn, you know? And what we need to do is, right now, today, repent, serve the Lord. Both of these two dreams that I shared with you are about, you know, the same thing, a holy life. A holy life towards the Lord, a simple life, not a frivolous, not interested in gaining the attention of the world, like the harlot here in this dream. They want the attention of the world. They want to be pleasing unto man. And that's why they have their doctrines. They're all flesh-pleasing doctrines. They all permit the old man to live after the lusts of his flesh, like a pig. And these people have this abominable sacrifice that the beast offers upon God's altar. You remember the story of Antiochus Epiphanes, how that he offered a pig on the altar and had relations with a harlot on the altar and sprinkled swine's blood on God's altar. And those all represent things. You know, God's hand in history is complete. He is totally sovereign. And those people who are now living after their own self-will will soon understand why judgment has come upon them. Wouldn't you rather be in the big white house, right? Wouldn't you rather be abiding in Christ, in His kingdom, in holiness, and watching the judgment going on outside? And, of course, rejoicing in the revival that's going to come of it. Very soon, folks, we're going to see a revival. It's going to come because of that white tornado. Cleaning things up. You know, God's going to start cleaning His people up, those that are out there in the world. And some are never going to listen. They're going to go into the oven, and the fiery trial's going to burn their bacon, you know. So we need to take the exhortation and flee to God and understand His grace is sufficient for us. Seek Him. The Lord is so merciful towards those who desire to please Him. Those that justify themselves and walk willfully before Him, they will get hurt in the days to come very quickly. If He loves them, He'll chase them that much more and that much quicker. You know, if you're not chastened, then the Bible says you're bastards and not sons, right? And there's going to come a time when the people who think that they've gotten away with what they've done to God's church will run right square into the great and terrible day of the Lord and realize that they didn't get away with anything. They just stored it up for a day of judgment. Right now, we need to, as we were speaking earlier about the excitement of the world, you know, we need to fast from the excitement of the world. We need to turn earnestly to God and ask Him to put His will in our life. We need to turn earnestly to the Word of God and fast from feeding the flesh anything. Let it starve. Let it die. And seek earnestly to put God's Word in our heart. You know, that Word is death to the old man. Like the Israelites said, let Him speak to you. We don't want to hear His voice. If we hear His voice, we'll die. You know? Well, that's why the old man doesn't like to sit down and study the Word of God and seek out what it is to be righteous and what it is to be pleasing unto the Lord and put that head covering on, basically. A head covering that represents submission to the Lord, holiness to the Lord, submission to His authority. So many people have so many reasons why they can't obey the Word. They've got crazy doctrines that they don't even believe, but they like them because it permits them to do what they want to do. And you can look incredulously at these people and say, you really believe that? You know, I mean, these fairy tales that they make up so that they can live in the world. You know, when the judgments begin to fall and the fear of the Lord is restored to at least God's elect that are still in the world. And what I'm talking about by that is the ones that God has chosen from the foundation of the world, they may still be walking in the world when these judgments fall. There's quite a few of them out there doing that. And they will repent, and they will run to the Lord for safety. And God knows that. He is going to start a fire. And as a very interesting dream we have on our site about fire suits, I don't remember the name of it. I wish I had it before me right now. It's very good word of the Lord, you know. Fire suits. It was like God had given to His people fire suits to go out into the fire and rescue people from the fire that was going on all around them, you know. They'd go out, they'd rescue people, they would bring them in. They'd go out and rescue more people and bring them in, you know. And it was a very good revelation. You know, there's a fire about to be started, a fiery trial out there. And some, like the harlot, will eventually just be burnt up. Their wood, hay, and stubble will just won't make it through, you know. But the elect who turn to God, they're going to find a refuge. The Lord is going to be their Savior in all things. They're going to find a refuge. Our job, folks, is to put on the fire suit, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have ever had a fire suit on, but I have. And it's a great comfort in a fire, I tell you. It's amazing how that little thin suit can reflect all that heat. It's really amazing and astounding. You can walk right in the midst of flames, and it will reflect the heat away from you, you know. And I've been in some pretty bad fires before in my life when I was a fireman, an industrial fireman. And it's neat. And I believe that's a really good parable concerning the things to come. The Lord is going to give us a fire suit. You know, it's going to reflect a lot of the heat away from us and enable us to do our job, which is to rescue other people who are out there with no protection. And their own wood, hay, and stubble is being burned up, right? You know, the Bible tells us to be careful what we build on the foundation, which is Christ. It tells us there is no other foundation, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. And he says, be careful what you build on that foundation. Some people are building gold and silver and precious stones, and some are wood, hay, and stubble, aren't they? Well, the fiery trial is going to prove each man's work, isn't it? And that's what's coming, is a real fiery trial. A lot of the things that we do are not going to stand up to this trial. There won't be any protection. There won't be any provision. A lot of things Christians do won't hold up in this coming trial. A lot of things that they're doing to prepare for this fiery trial is useless and worthless and all man's idea. It's not walking by faith. It's not God's provision. It's not his power. And it's going to be proven that it's not. It's going to fail them. And just like all of Egypt's, just all of Egypt's provision that was given to the Israelites when they went out into the wilderness, it failed them, didn't it? But then God took over. God's provision brought them through. At least it brought the ones through that believed God, right? And the others died in the wilderness. So once again, a lot of the wood, hay, and the stubble, the things that man builds with, that have no value, like the gold and the silver and the precious stones, have no value in the kingdom, you know. This fiery trial is going to burn all that up. When we come through, when we come out on the other side of this wilderness that we're looking at here, folks, it's going to be gold and silver and precious stones. It's going to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ only. And if not, it won't make it through. And that's how we're going to receive a reward. Some people pervert those scriptures. In fact, let me read that. They pervert them in order to have a reward no matter how they live. But one reading of this with an honest heart will help you understand it has nothing to do with what they're saying. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 says, you are God's fellow workers, God's husbandry, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation the gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Not eternity, folks, the day. The day is in time. It's not in eternity. It's here that God is going to try your works and either burn them up, prove them to be totally useless to you, or preserve you through the midst of it because you are in his image, right? Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Notice that. If any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Why? How is this man saved that goes through the fire? Because his old self works of wood, hay, and stubble is burned up. That's how God's going to save his people, is he's going to burn up their useless works. You know, a lot of God's people out there are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and even the ones that are, they're into self works. They're into doing their own thing. Anything but faith, they're into it. And their works are not the works of God. So God is merciful. He's sending a fiery trial, and he's doing it in order to deliver them from themselves, right? Thank God. He's going to burn up anything in us that's not of him.